Hello, this is Stormtrooper 1. In case you were just way too busy to listen to our last show, this is what you missed.
Remember when the whole Josh Trank thing happened? I wanted to pull my hair out.
They ruined it for themselves, and that's why I don't feel sorry for them. I do not feel sorry for them, just like I didn't feel sorry for Josh Trank losing himself on the set of Fantastic Four so much that the producer for the other untitled standalone film did not want him on board the movie, saying he is a complete loose cannon who hides himself behind the video village and tucks away the camera so no one could see the monitor, no one could see the footage. I mean, you can't do that. Can I see the dailies? No.
Nope.
These dailies are mine. These are my dailies. Quit judging me. Like, these people.
Why can't you guys take a page from Gareth Edwards?
Yeah, dude, they're Josh Trank, Bill Lord, Chris Miller. You're going to find them in about 3 years sucking dick in the alley. Like, they have no career. I'm telling you right now. They may have a career if they want to do their own independent films. They're done, dude.
I honestly think, yeah.
They're done. Josh Trank has not recovered still from the disaster of Fantastic Four and the horrible bridges he burned when he got fired before he even got... No, he did get fired from the standalone Star Wars film.
Yeah. He didn't just burn those bridges. He napalmed them.
Yeah. They're going to be in the same alley with Jar Jar. Misa sucking dick today. You guys got a help? Peace, I'm embarrassed. Ooh, okay day. I suck dick for Imperial credits.
Warning, from the back to tank contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue.
We would be honored if you would join us.
How are you feeling? Your latest workups on your condition indicate that all damage has been reversed. Recovery is total. I believe you have been quite fortunate. No further thanks are necessary, Commander, but you are most welcome. It is my function and pleasure as a medical droid to help and heal human beings.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Star Wars From the Back to Tank. I am Michael Flores, your host, and we are back in studio for the first time in about 3 weeks live. We haven't done a live Star Wars show in about 2 months, but first time live with new studio equipment. We're also broadcasting live at a new audio quality as well. So lots of things to look forward to today. Not only do we have lots of news coming out of D23 in terms of Star Wars news, but also lots of studio upgrades. Enjoy some new sound for your ears. Hopefully your ears enjoy it, right, Dave?
Yes, better sound quality means better force.
Yeah. So if you guys notice any issues with the audio quality, please tweet us at From Back to Tank or my personal Twitter account, Michael_Flores, and let us know if there's some issues, because we're flying. We didn't calculate the jump to light speed. We just did it. We could go through a star system.
Exactly.
Or a sun. We don't know. We just decided, hey, new studio equipment. We need to test it out sometime. Why not today during the Star Wars show? You know, and I was debating not even doing it live, but I was like, you know what? We're doing a live Rain Man show tomorrow. And I'd rather do it a live Star Wars Back to Tank show. It's a much, much smaller show, just two mics to worry about, rather than doing it all on the fly during Rain Man show, which would be a complete disaster.
That way you have like a heads up. Okay, this is what I got to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So we are now broadcasting at 128 kilobits. Originally, we were broadcasting at 48, which is just on par with AM quality radio. Now we're broadcasting right around FM. Some FM is a little different depending on which station you're tuning into. So we're right on par now with FM quality. So If you notice the nice new crisp sound, it's because we're now broadcasting at 128 kilobits. And there's a reason for that. Not only did we do it, David, just so that people can say, oh, you guys sound so sweet and extra crisp and fine. It's also because, not only because of that, we do want to sound crisp and fine, right, Dave?
Absolutely.
But the biggest reason is because we got some more news to drop on people very soon. So there's a specific reason why we have to broadcast live at a better quality. But I'm just going to tease people for now. Yeah, I'm just going to flip the Minoc around just a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't get scared. Don't be like C-3PO and refuse to come out of the turbo lift of the Millennium Falcon. Don't be afraid. Put on your gas mask and just enter. Right?
And just enter. Just be prepared.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
All right. So we have D23 news. But before we get into the D23 news, I want to get into some stuff, some Star Wars Rebels related news.
I was shocked at D23 that they didn't release anything more of talking about Rebels Season 4 coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're trying to, and a lot of people were disappointed in general at D23, not because of the lack of news that Lucasfilm dropped on everybody. There was a lot of great stuff to celebrate, but there were also some things that were noticeably avoided. Yes. Number one, the Han Solo movie was not even talked about.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't a lot of Rebel stuff, and I'm okay with that, because this was about the theme park announcements. This was about Last Jedi. Last Jedi is 5 months away, David. 5 months away. So I'm okay. I'm okay focusing on Last Jedi. That should be the focus. Star Wars, the Skywalker saga is the flagship and will always be the flagship of the Star Wars franchise. So let's focus a bit. For the past year, people have been blowing Rogue One, and rightfully so. It was a great addition to the Star Wars universe and the very first spinoff standalone movie. That was a success, and it made history. The first Star Wars movie that's not related per se to the Skywalker storyline. So there was a lot to celebrate, but now we need to kind of switch gears and switch focus to the Skywalker saga. It's the franchise flagship.
Yeah, it's now the time for the franchise. I guess you could say the franchise series of the main series of the Star Wars story that's being told right now.
Yeah. So I don't think people need to look for any drama. I know some people were really afraid that there was no Han Solo news, that that's a sign of really bad things. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a sign that in 5 months, The Last Jedi comes out. That should be the focus. That should absolutely be the focus. So, but before we get into all of that, because there's a lot of fun, exciting stuff pertaining to The Last Jedi, I'm super stoked. I want to talk about the Dave Filoni tweet. And God bless Dave Filoni. I love the man. I'm not too keen on his new little endeavor into Star Wars, the Forces of Destiny. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Forces of Destiny.
We'll get into that too. But besides that, Filoni is a fantastic director, showrunner. The guy has done wonders for Star Wars canon. And he is, I always call him the lesser George Lucas. To me, he's better than, I hate to say this, but he's better than Abrams. He's better than Rian Johnson. He's better than the gentleman that did Rogue One. Dave Filoni does Star Wars Rebels. And Star Wars Rebels is through and through one of the best Star Wars installments we've ever gotten in, I would say, at least 10 years. I mean, outside of like The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can't forget that basically he's been the flag bearer of Star Wars before the movies ever came out.
Right.
I mean, he was the driving force behind Clone Wars. He's the driving force, as you said, behind Rebels. Before any movies came out, we had those
to
carry us on. And he's been kind of like that flag bearer of Star Wars for the longest time. And honestly, without Dave Filoni, I don't think in the 2000s, we would have had Star Wars.
The dark years.
Yeah, that would have been the dark years.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only was Dave Filoni sitting there at the offices, the lonely offices, before, you know, Disney bought out Lucasfilm doing his thing, but he also brought about a lot of new lore. And to show you how much Disney and Kathleen Kennedy loved what he did, they could have easily retconned all of it.
Yeah.
When they retconned the entire Star Wars EU and wanted to start over, they could have, but They didn't. They did not retcon anything Dave Filoni did. And there's a reason for that, because the guy is a mastermind. The guy's a genius behind Star Wars. He understands it. He gets it. That's why I always call him the Lester George Lucas. He is a great story individual. He knows how to take the ideas of George Lucas's ideas, and run with it.
Yeah. And do you notice that basically the Star Wars story group, like Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams, they're very strict on what gets out there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Dave Filoni, they just let him go. No, let Dave say whatever he wants.
Yeah, you're right.
He can say whatever he wants.
You're right.
Anybody else, like an actor, another director even, start saying something, they nip it in the bud. They say, no, you can't say this.
Yeah.
Please cease and desist. If Filoni puts something out on Twitter, it's like they look at it and just go, oh, okay. Well, let him go.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's a good observation, because you're right. Dave Filoni usually does write his own check. Like, he doesn't sit and wait to be told when he can release stuff. And he's probably does things because let's be honest, some directors and actors don't really have common sense to say, yeah, I could say this.
Yeah.
Whereas Dave Filoni, probably he's been in it now for what, 15 years. He's been involved with Lucasfilm, maybe even longer at this point. 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years, 12 Almost years, about 12 years. Over yeah. Well over a decade. I think he understands. I think he gets what he can tweet and what he can't. And well,
if you notice, like in a lot of his public speaking appearances,
yeah,
he knows what to say when it comes to Star Wars. Like the one thing that I always tell people is when I went to the Star Wars celebration prior to this last one, I got to see the teaser for Rebels. For I think it was season 3, I was absolutely shocked how Dave Filoni knew how to actually just control that crowd.
Yeah,
like they would ask him questions. They'd say, "Oh, okay, well, I could give you this hint."
Yeah, he knows what he's doing, man.
He knows what he's doing, and
the crowd eats up what he says, because, as I was saying, he's very important, a very important figure in Star Wars. And if you're not watching Rebels, shame on you. It is not cheesy. It's not silly. It is fantastic. It's such a great installment that will always be a chapter in the Star Wars saga from here on out. It's just an amazing story that Filoni and the Lucasfilm Story Group has managed to wield and put together. But enough of this. Let's talk about what Dave Filoni tweeted. Now, Dave, he tweeted out an unaired Star Wars Rebels encounter between Ahsoka, which we already know who Ahsoka is, and the Bindu. Okay, now this is important because Star Wars canon tells us that the Bindu were once part of the old legends. Okay, the old canon that was retconned. They brought it back. And of course, the Bindu, I'm not going to rehash old things we've talked about. The Bindu is basically an ancient group of force sensitive individuals who believed in the balance of the force. And they brought back this creature in epic proportions in Star Wars Rebels, and he did just that. He taught Kanan about the balance, about using the balance. It's not about the light. It's not about the dark. Now, what does that sound like, Dave? Why is that so important? That sounds exactly like the first Last Jedi teaser that was dropped on us a couple months ago.
Yes.
Dealing with the balance, that where Mark Hamill or Luke says that in order that he knows one thing, that the Jedi should end. And a lot of people kind of, you know, their jaws dropped and they're like, oh, Luke's going to be bad. He is going to go to the dark side if the Jedi have to die. And I don't think it's that at all. I think it's more about the balance. Just like Luke, you heard his voice echoing through that trailer, through that teaser trailer. And he said, the balance, it's so much bigger. And then we have characters like the Bindu introduced that are all about the balance. I think the Bindu was I don't know if the Bindu is going to make an appearance or not, either by name or actually physically making an appearance in Last Jedi. I don't know. All I'm saying is that there is a foreshadowing to the storytelling of Lucasfilm Story Group. So the reason why this is so exciting to Star Wars fans is because we see that Ahsoka had a direct connection at some point within the Star Wars story. Now, it's not canon because it was never aired, and we already know how very strict the Lucasfilm story group is from here on out with canon. If it's not aired, guess what? It's not canon.
It's not canon.
So we have this encounter. Do you have it pulled up, Dave, by chance? Okay, can you take us through what he tweeted out?
Okay, so Dave Filoni basically tweeted out, here we go. Thursday evening, Filoni posted to his official social media account on Facebook and Twitter another wrinkle in the mystery.
Oh, wrinkle.
And what he frames as an unaired scene from the Star Wars Rebels. He says this took place around the end of the episode, The Mystery of Chopper Base.
Right. And that's right when they found the planet where the Bendu is residing.
Yes. And then Filoni reveals that Kanan Jarrus, Jedi Knight, was not the first to encounter Bendu on Antillon. That honor went to Ahsoka Tano. According to this news story, and it's a doozy of a conversation accompanied by gorgeous illustration of the meeting by a very accomplished artist.
Yeah, it's amazing work, dude. It's beautiful. It is so fantastic looking.
Let's see.
But now he tweeted it out, but Dave Filoni, that son of a bitch, he tweets us this cool little behind the scenes nugget of an unaired episode, but then he cuts out part of the script. So we only get the first part of each of their dialogue, because there is there's a dialogue exchange between the Bendu and Ahsoka. And I'm just going to read what we can see, because it's cut off by the picture. Did you notice that, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just going to read the sentence. So the Bendu says, or not the sentence, I'm going to read what we can actually see, what Dave Filoni actually tweeted out. The Bendu says, "You are set on this confrontation.
Yep.
Ahsoka says, "I have to know the truth." The Bendu says, "So be it, but understand." Ahsoka says, "Isn't that true of all?" The Bendu says, "My dear, when I say," the Ahsoka says, "So I will die." The Bendu says, "Will you? I didn't know." So we don't really have anything to go off of. Like, what could possibly happen? The only thing that I can kind of surmise from this is that she somehow foresaw her death.
Yeah.
That by talking with the Bendu and learning how to harness the balance, which we already know Ahsoka, it was very open to utilizing both. She left the Jedi Order long ago.
Yeah.
So if someone were to truly hold on and kind of grasp a bigger teaching that's not evil per se, I would definitely see Ahsoka willing to do that.
That's what the whole, when we were watching that season in particular, that was the main question that everyone was asking, was like, okay, how is Ahsoka going to fit into this?
Yeah.
We know that she has to face Vader at one point, but why? Did she see it? Does she know that she's supposed to?
Yeah. I hope that someday, I don't know how it'll all play out because of how everything is connected now. Every little thing is connected, and you have to be very careful what you have to be careful even with dialogue, because the dialogue either has to fit the upcoming narratives of other future Star Wars installments that they already have in the works, or they have to be careful not to conflict anything. So I don't know. Do you think the chances of us ever seeing this in some form, like kind of like what we saw with Ventress? You know how we got the book?
Yeah.
That's actually officially canon. It was supposed to be the entire Ventress novel that was released was supposed to be episodes of Clone Wars that was never fully produced. So they released the script and had it novelized. And then we got that book that was also part of Clone Wars.
Yes.
And now it's forever part of canon, which is awesome.
Part of canon.
Do you think there's a possibility that we'll get the same thing with this story here?
I'm hoping so, because like, honestly, all the books for Star Wars in this new generation of like this new era of Star Wars books, all the books have been really fantastic. And a lot of people have been wondering, what are they going to cover next in the books when it comes to the novels? Because the last couple books have been fantastic. Thrawn. Book of Thrawn was fantastic, and it gave insight into a character that was a main fixture in Star Wars Rebels. And a lot of people have been saying is like, well, what about a book on Obi-Wan? What about a book on Ahsoka herself here?
Yeah. Okay. And I've said this before, and I know there's Star Wars listeners that are like, well, shut the fuck up, Mike. Shut up. I don't care about an Obi-Wan book anymore.
At this point, no.
I love Obi-Wan, one of my all-time favorite characters, but I'm willing to be patient for something bigger down the road. If we do at all. I mean, I think Obi-Wan's story is complete.
I think,
you have taken part like you should, if you're a true Star Wars fan and you have ridden the ride or rode the ride. What's the right? I'm terrible with the rode English the language. If you rode the ride since the very beginning, going back to Phantom Menace, okay, and you rode that ride all the way through Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, the Clone Wars, moving into New Hope, and now what we even saw in Rebels with Obi-Wan's appearance and his confrontation, his final confrontation with Darth Maul, I feel like Obi-Wan had a parallel story to Anakin, and his story was just as important to Anakin, or I'm sorry, important to the Star Wars storyline as Anakin's was. I mean, especially because his connection with Luke Skywalker, and hopefully the connections we're going to get, which I'm assuming we're going to get connections in The Last Jedi as well, because there's got to be a reason why we hear his voice echoing when Rey touches the lightsaber.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason why they chose to utilize his voice, but not just the Ewan McGregor version, but also the
Alec Guinness version.
So Obi-Wan's story is told. It's a full, complete story. And I know people can point to Darth Vader and say, well, we've gotten so many other stories, you know, comic books dealing with Revenge of the Sith. And I said, well, Darth Vader's a little different because Anakin's story was told.
Yeah.
Anakin's story was fully told. I think there could be more stories for Darth Vader because there is a lot of time frame that we don't see Darth Vader, the Sith Lord.
Yes.
And that's different. Obi-Wan's Obi-Wan. We kind of know what he did. And I don't really feel like we need to see anything with him on Tatooine anymore, because I think we already get the idea that his attention was fully on Luke.
Yeah. And that's what I was one of those fans that really wanted more Obi-Wan because he's one of my favorite characters in the entire series.
Get on that mic. You're back.
But after Rebels and then reading some of the comics that have come out, you don't really need to know what Obi-Wan was doing on Tatooine anymore.
He was jerking it with sand. That's all we need to know.
That was his training.
Yeah.
He needed to harden his force.
He must unlearn what he has learned.
But you're right. I mean, after Rebels, you begin to realize that his main focus, yeah, the training was there.
He was learning how to touch himself without touching himself.
The training was there.
Obi-Wan would be very upset.
But his main focus was Luke.
Yeah.
I mean, what else is there that he really needs to do? He doesn't need to do anything. He needs to make sure that the quote-unquote chosen one is protected.
Yeah. And again, there is an art. I'm not trying to be absolute. I'm not a Sith Lord here. Okay. There is an argument to be made whether or not we could tell a story with Obi-Wan on Tatooine to where he is protecting Luke and having it connect to Luke as a child growing up. And there's a reason why, you know, he had to get involved with something, you know, from the shadows. Yes, there is an argument for that. And would it be interesting? Absolutely. I just don't think it's a time and place right now. Yes, Ewan McGregor's aging and eventually he might get too old. But I think the future of Star Wars is so bright and there's so many more stories to be told rather than kind of rehashing yet another story that we kind of already know.
And it has to be done well.
Yeah. All right. Without any more holding back, we need to move into some news relating to Colin Trevorrow. There has been a lot of people kind of crying out in distress.
Cry out and be silent.
Because Colin Trevorrow, as we know, is the director for the final installment of the new trilogy. And he is, if you know, his first big mainstream work, box office success, was the Jurassic Park, The Lost World, I believe it was called, right? Lost World?
Yes. That was his first
Jurassic World. That's what it was.
Project.
Yeah, Jurassic
big
World. And it was a box office success. And he then was hired promptly onto the third installment of the new trilogy, which is untitled, episode 9. And some recent news has surfaced about Trevorrow that's very troublesome for a lot of Star Wars fans. And you know what? I'm going to stay positive. However, he recently had a movie that came out, and it was called The Book of Henry. And Colin Trevorrow says he's still the right man for Star Wars Episode 9, despite the Book of Henry car crash. I need to make something that will be deeply emotionally resonant. When the article says from Digital Spy, we have all been slightly on edge about Star Wars Episode 9 ever since director Colin Trevorrow's latest movie, The Book of Henry, was spectacularly panned.
Oh,
the movie
was
so bad that it currently holds a 23% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't usually judge movies based on Rotten Tomatoes, so I will wait till I check out this movie on my own for a final say. Because there are some movies on Rotten Tomatoes that get bad ratings that end up being pretty damn good. Yeah. But you do this. You're right. This does bring up a very valid question. When you have Trevorrow getting ready and a relatively unknown jumping into the ring for Star Wars, and his movie that he's doing is just utterly hated across the board, it starts to make you worry. But the reason why I'm not really paranoid about this, because in Ron Howard we trust, right, David?
Yes, Ron Howard we trust.
And it's a good example as to the fail-safe that Lucasfilm has put in place. We saw it happen with Rogue One when they brought in Tony Gilroy to help finish up the movie and also finish up with the reshoots. And the same thing will happen with this movie. If Colin Trevorrow, for some reason, isn't up to snuff, he's not able to complete this movie, and it doesn't feel right, guess what's going to happen? Kathleen Kennedy, who I completely trust, will come in and make sure it gets fixed. So I'm not really worried. I think at this point, Star Wars is much bigger than one director. It's a true collaborative art form. I mean, filmmaking in general is a collaborative art form. It takes more than one person to make a movie come to fruition. Well, Star Wars is even more so. It's done more like a TV show. The way these Star Wars installments think less blockbuster movie and more television. These are now episodic installments with the writing room, the Lucasfilm story group, writing the stories and the director coming in and taking what's on the page. So, yes, he is involved in writing. But when it comes down to it, he doesn't have the final say. So I'm not worried. Are you worried about this?
I'll be honest. Stuff like this would worry me. But nowadays, now that we've come to understand how it works with the Star Wars franchise now, I'm a bit more understanding about it. So, like, just like what you said, I mean, like, with the Han Solo flick, okay, well, the past director didn't work out.
And we got a better one.
We'll go get another one. We'll get even a better one with Ron Howard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm, like, thinking to myself, well, if Colin Trevorrow just pans out, doesn't work for them, they'll just go and find another director. I mean, the funny part is, I was just thinking about it. The reason why Colin Trevorrow was brought in to Episode 9 was because Steven Spielberg literally said, hey, he's good. And he referred Colin Trevorrow to do Episode 9.
Yeah.
So what would be hilarious is, like, well, Colin Trevorrow doesn't pan out, Steven Spielberg takes over.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I never really put much faith in Trevorrow because I thought Jurassic World was a piece of shit. I thought it was a big old T-Rex shit pile. I didn't like the movie. I felt like it was regurgitated, like, verbatim, except without the heart from the original Jurassic Park. It was just so bad. So I wasn't really...
It was very shallow.
Yeah, it was...
As a movie,
Very superficial, very shallow. So I wasn't really keen on him as a director. But like I said, I have faith in Lucasfilm and what they're doing and making... They have quality control on rap. Like,
yeah.
This is their investment. Disney has put so much money into the franchise. They're not going to allow somebody to mess it up for them. Things are going to be fine.
Yeah. The thing I like about this that I've been seeing with the trend in probably more so with Lucasfilm is the fact that I'm at least happy that they're willing to give, like, smaller directors, smaller indie directors a chance.
Yeah.
They're willing to give him
a chance. Give him a chance.
Now the thing is like the flip side to that, we've discussed this in the past before, and we let our filmmaking sides out. We're very brutal and honest. When it comes to any directors, if you're given that chance, it's up to you then.
Right.
Up to you.
I don't feel sympathy for you. If you drop the ball like Trank did for Fantastic Four, and then you lose your, you burn every bridge and lose your Star Wars gig, guess who I feel sorry for? Nobody.
Nobody.
I don't feel sorry for you.
I don't feel sorry for Phil Lord and
Christopher Miller, whatever. Fuck them.
Yeah. Remember, they're giving shots to indie directors.
They refuse to listen. I've read more reports about them. They refuse to listen to Kathleen Kennedy and Lord Kasdan.
And that's just not...
How do you do that? You guys, this isn't your thing, okay? Yeah. If you want to go do another Lego movie, go do Lego movie!
If you want... And the thing is, they're giving shots to indie directors, but if indie directors aren't willing... If the new directors, the new generation of directors aren't willing to step up to the plate and man up...
Yep.
Okay, we'll just have to go with the old school.
Hey, David, or woman up, okay?
Or woman up.
Yeah. All right. Get it right. All right, we need to go to a very quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to jump into the D23 news. Lots of awesome things to talk about. We will be right back.
Stormtrooper 1. This is just a friendly reminder. Please leave us a review on Stitcher. Go to Stitcher.com and search From the Bat to Tank. Every review left helps us get seen by more people. And we thank you so much. Remember, go to Stitcher.com and search From the Bat to Tank. Thank you.
This is so exciting to see in your side!
Hey. You're not supposed to be in the studio.
Whoops!
See that red light? Yeah, that means I'm live and on the air.
This is very, very bad.
Get out.
No, no, no! Ah, lawa! Good day!
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right, AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Star Wars From the Back to Tank. I am Michael Flores, your host, and we're going to be getting into some news from D23. As I was saying, we got a lot of news from D23, a lot of things dropped on us, a lot of things to get excited about. We are now broadcasting at 128 kilobits, which is a whole lot better than what we were doing, which was 48 kilobits. It's a whole lot more expensive as well, believe me. When I phoned in the request to our streaming company, they just said, now, you know, Mr. Flores, that's going to be about 20,000 times more money than you're spending now. And I'm like, yes, I'm aware. As with every reason why we do something, there is a There is a reason why we are doing this. And there's a hopefully I can drop the secret soon. But of course, if I choose to broadcast at a higher bit rate, it's for a reason. So hopefully I can drop that news on everyone really, really soon. I'm really excited for it. But yes, 128 kilobits. If you are listening, let us know either at From Back to Tank or Michael underscore Flores. Let us know how we sound. Eric Reimer, I believe, or Reimer. I apologize if I said your name incorrectly. Eric says new equipment sounds great. And he has an exclamation mark there. So I'm assuming he's excited as well. So, all right, David, are you ready for D23 news?
Oh, I've been waiting for this one.
All right. So D23, Disney announced a galaxy of news about the future of its Star Wars empire. And I think the two biggest things, not movie related, but Star Wars related, is the announcement or the official look that we had. They unveiled the Star Wars land at Disney parks.
Yes.
They're calling it Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the forthcoming Star Wars themed additions to its theme parks. The new area is supposed to look like a planet in the Star Wars universe, The Verge reported, and will blend characters and objects from across the franchise's films into a completely immersive world. Now, this is something I think we all expected to happen when they announced that they're going to be adding a Star Wars land to Disney, much like Frontierland or Adventureland or Tomorrowland. We figured, okay, well, with every land that they have in Star Wars or in Disneyland or Disney World, they have the associated aesthetics as well. They have the appropriate characters walking around. They have the appropriate architecture. So we kind of all figured that they're going to do the same thing with Star Wars Land. Otherwise, why even do it? It would be silly.
Yeah.
So when they announced how immersive it's going to be, I got completely excited because who doesn't want to walk into isn't this something we all want to do since we were kids? We wanted to feel like we're walking onto the set of Star Wars, or yes, not even a set, because that would be fake. Walking into a real world of Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. This is basically, when I first heard this, I was like, oh, okay, are they just going to go with their old tricks like Star Tours and, you know, 3D glasses, the thing that basically you hate the most.
3D glasses, oh, please.
Because you don't want anything on your face.
Yeah. I hate 3D glasses.
But, like, when I fully read and saw what they were planning, dude, this is really, it's ambitious.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in the world like this.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're expecting everyone,
or the
to
universe
be playing,
or the galaxy.
Yeah. They're expecting everyone, including you, when you go into the Star Wars land or even in their hotel, going to be playing a character.
That's different. That's the hotel.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a second. Now, at the actual edition, the actual theme park side of it, there will be rides that take guests off the planet, including onto a Star Destroyer ship that face off against AT-ATs or AT-ATs, and even flying on the Millennium Falcon. With all of the Star Wars vehicles and foes included, the world itself, from the few pictures that have been released of the massive diorama that Disney built for D23, appear to combine the aspects of other Star Wars planets, including Luke Skywalker's home. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to, right?
Yes.
You can't just exclude things. I'm assuming, because Star Wars is never going to end at this point, I can only assume that this construction, they can't just set it up and never do anything ever again with it, like they have done with so many of the Disneyland parks. I mean, how often do they truly renovate Disneyland and Disney World besides the trip to the basic upkeep? I mean, yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean was the same for countless years, and they've updated it in the last, 10 years to include Johnny Depp and some other actors that were featured in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. They can't do that with this. They're going to have to keep it fresh. They're going to have to keep it new. As Star Wars continues to expand and grow, you're going to see Star Wars Land probably grow with it as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is it's going to be very interesting how they take this, because just like what you said, I mean, they've done updating on rides and did like the quote unquote immersion angle with like glasses
and just look at Star Tours. Okay. I mean, Star Tours is fun, but they didn't update that to 5 years ago?
No, 5 years ago.
And it was the same thing for 20 years almost. Yeah. And they can't do that with this.
They can't do it.
And I think it worked with Star Tours for so long because Star Wars was done for the most part. Now that it's never going to be done, you can't ask people to keep returning and seeing the same thing over and over. It's going to get a little old. So I can only imagine that they already have plans to continually update what we see. The next bit which you were getting into, David, is the hotel. The Star Wars hotel. Now, this to me is even more exciting than I hate to say more exciting because I'm damn excited about the Star Wars land.
I'm giddy about this hotel, dude.
But this, unfortunately, isn't coming to our side of the United States.
I know.
The hotel, as of now, has only been announced for Florida, for Disney World. So that means I'm going to be visiting Disney World real soon. So details from Disney are thin so far. But according to TechCrunch, they reported that during D23, Disney plans to create a Star Wars-themed hotel. Now, again, people may shrug and say, well, you know what? Disney has done hotels in the past, and you see Mickey Mouse walking around, and it's like, well, okay, Mickey walks around. What else are you going to do for me besides having Darth Vader swing his lightsaber around and say hi to guests? Well, what else are you going to do? Give me more. In order for me to give you my countless dollars, what else are you going to do? Well, David, it's going to be an immersive, completely immersive experience.
100%.
Role-playing.
Yes.
Role-playing. So when you walk into a hotel, basically, they're going to be hiring actors. It's the only way this is going to work. Which, again, debatably, is what most of the characters that are jumping around Disneyland anyways are actors who are either out of work or are in between jobs. A lot of people may not realize that the person playing Mickey Mouse is usually an actor.
Yes.
So you're going to see a lot more actors filling in for these roles because it's going to be immersive and role playing. So, for example, when a customer or a patron or a hotel would be hotel guest walks in, you're not going to talk to the front desk person with his real name, Jebediah, whatever. It's going to be a Star Wars name and he's going to be that character. So he cannot break character.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. They are saying and selling this to people That's the thing that I noticed that got me excited. The fact that they will not break character. They are in character. So not only that, we're also going to get the complete entire experience of being within a different world. Okay. For example, the windows of the hotel won't show the real world. It's going to show the infinite expanse of space. So rather than like Las Vegas hotel, but with less gambling, it's going to be more Darth Vader. So we're not going to be able to see the outside world. We're going to be completely immersed in Star Wars. Guests will constantly be engaging with storyline as they stay at the hotel that will touch every single minute of your day.
Dude, how exciting is that? When I first read that, I was like going, they are basically asking me to LARP. In real life, Star Wars.
I hate that stuff. I don't like LARPing, but
see,
you know
I
what?
Love it.
Oh, I hate
I love
it. But
it,
you know what? For Star Wars, I'll do it. And I'm going to like, I'm going to see how far they'll go.
You're going to be like going, can I have some death sticks?
Yeah. Or I'm going to complain about something. I'm like, there's a Minoc in my closet. And if they don't try to go find it, then guess what? I'm going to get upset. I'm going to complain. I'm going to want my money back. There better be. You think there'll be slave Leia's walking around?
Oh, dude, Twi'lek dancers.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me some Twi'leks. If I go into a bar and I don't see some hot Star Wars chicks.
That's the thing. If you go into the bar in this hotel, hot Star Wars chicks.
Yeah. There's got
to be there.
There's got to be. And Leia's got to be there. Slave Leia. I don't care.
I don't care.
You want me to role play? I want to role play with Leia. Give me Slave Leia. She'll soon appreciate me. I will make her appreciate me.
I will make her appreciate me.
Yeah. All right. So we also got Star Wars The Last Jedi behind the scenes video. And the reason why I was excited about this, I'm not going to play the audio. If you want to see it, I will post it on our site with the on-demand version of the show. There's a few takeaways. And the one we're going to focus on, David, is the takeaway where Carrie Fisher was talking about the Last Jedi story. And one key phrase she mentioned towards the end was, it's all about family. And that immediately gave me some confidence in the story. I wasn't losing confidence, but it upped my excitement and upped my confidence in the next installment. Because I feel like that's a very important step to take in the Star Wars franchise, in the Star Wars world. We have been, Star Wars has always been about family, in Skywalker,
the demise of Anakin was because he couldn't control his feelings on with the need of protecting his family.
Yeah.
He couldn't control his emotions. It was too strong because of the love for his wife. And then what ultimately turned him good was the love of his son, love for his son. So it's always been at the core. It's always been about family.
Well, we were hoping for like that, you know, like when Force Awakens first happened and they had their teaser, we had the "we're home" moment. That's what people call it.
Yep.
This one is I think this was actually the "we're home" moment for The Last Jedi. Because when we first saw that, it did give me the slight chills actually seeing Carrie Fisher talking about how, just like what you said, this story in particular is about family. And it tells you, okay, we're going back to basically the Skywalker storyline. That's what this is all about. Much like when, you know, Han Solo says, "Chewie, we're home." It's like they're saying, okay, we're back. Star Wars is back. Now with this one, this is them telling us, not only are we back, but now we're going to be telling the story that everyone knows. And what we all know down deep inside as Star Wars fans, this is the center story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also is it makes sense. It's it's a step in the Star Wars storytelling that I think needed to take place. We haven't had a truly intimate story since Empire Strikes Back.
And I'll be honest,
I'm not saying I didn't. I don't want to say Force Awakens is pretty damn intimate. I mean, that scene when Obi-Wan's yelling at Anakin, you know, saying that you were supposed to be. I mean, that still makes tears. I still tear up.
Yeah.
When Obi-Wan is crying and yelling when he realizes he just killed his best friend, you know, and he cut off his legs and he left him for dead. I mean, that's horrible and heart wrenching. And I think we need more than that. Force Awakens was smart. It was a fun way to jumpstart the franchise again. It was fun. It was uplifting. It was filled with hope. And now let's focus the story a bit and re-bring back those feelings of family and connect the two new, the old generation with the new and make it feel complete. And I like that they said that when she said it's all about family. And even what Finn said, John Boyega. Another line he said in the behind the scenes video was that this is completely different than what you would expect after Force Awakens. The direction Force Awakens took you expected something else. And this is going to be completely something different. This is not what people have expected.
Yeah.
And I like that. I don't want to guess. You know, I like to speculate. I like to have fun. But if I can go into a movie and completely be wrong about something and it's better, that's a win for me as a Star Wars fan and as a moviegoer. I don't want to know the story. I don't want to know what's going to happen. So if you can throw a wrench at us and it's a welcomed wrench, like I want to be hit in the head with it, then that's a good thing. So there was a lot of awesome takeaways that I was listening to very carefully throughout the entire video, and there was nothing that made me groan. I was very happy with all of it.
Yeah, actually, that's the one you just mentioned it. That was the one takeaway that I took away for myself was like, I honestly was expecting, okay, are they going to they're going to play it safe? They're going to play it safe.
They're going to put the condom on.
Yeah. And they're just going to give us like little tidbits here and there. This one, this teaser really surprised me and showed me that this isn't anything what I was expecting Last Jedi was going to be about.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that they showed was like, you know, we saw Benicio del Toro's character.
Oh, he's such a badass. I can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah. We saw some of the aliens that are going to be showing up in there. And the way you see how the crew shot those particular scenes, you can tell it's a very intimate movie.
Yeah. And you mentioned the aliens and whatnot. I'm glad that Rian Johnson is following suit to J.J. Abrams and staying true to more, you know, I would say 70% practical and 30% visual effects or CGI.
I am very glad about that. I am glad, as bad as it sounds, I I'm glad that I did not see a tennis ball on a stick.
I agree. And they did mention it, I believe, when JJ stepped away and Rian and Trevorrow were taking over. They did mention that they're going to do exactly what JJ did. They wanted to keep the similar color palette and the similar depth to the look. So they were also, they also said they're not shooting digital. They're going to continue doing what JJ did, which is shooting 35 millimeter. So all those things now, and then seeing the behind the scenes and how much effort went into not just, you know, the miniatures and the aliens, but even the lava was real. Obviously, it's not real lava, but you could tell it was practical effects. When the guy was standing there with a camera and you saw the lava brush over him, I'm like, holy shit, they either killed their camera guy. I got to find out what that was and what they're using to simulate, you know, a practical effect for lava.
And the thing that I did like too is that while they were actually following what JJ set forth, you kind of get that vibe that basically, okay, yeah, this is going to be still on the vein that basically we're following the footsteps of JJ, but Rian Johnson's really trying to tell a different type of story that JJ Abrams probably never really could tell. Because if you I know that maybe this is overanalyzing when I was looking at the trailer and stuff, but just the way that everything was shot, the way that there was a lot of very medium shots done where it's very intimate and very, very like in your face, like very dialogue heavy.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm like going, we didn't get that in Force Awakens. Force Awakens was like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, and not to, I don't want to be those guys that bash the past. I liked Force Awakens. I always will, but it also served a point. There was a reason for it. It was there to jumpstart the franchise, and now it's time to slow it down, and get to know these characters and bring it back down to the focus of the family and the Skywalkers. And you're right, and I love your observation on the chosen shots because one way to make an intimate story isn't just about the story itself. It's also about the chosen camera shots, the chosen camera angles and the blocking. And you're 100% correct. When you look at that behind the scenes video, which I'm playing right now, silent mode, there are a lot of chosen shots that are very close. A lot of medium shots and close-ups there, which signal and help give the audience a feeling of intimacy. So I'm excited.
And when and then there's those shots that are really dynamic, like that one shot of the person falling, what looks to be like one of the characters is falling into a pit of some sort.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Really dynamic shot.
Yeah, there's some great stuff. Rian Johnson, Godzilla, right? That's what he did?
No. Rian Johnson did...
I thought he did Godzilla.
No, that was... One second.
Well, we're dropping the ball on Rian Johnson. Here, hold on. Let me look it up. Rian Johnson, IMDb. I thought he was the one that did Godzilla. Was that the other dude that did Rogue One?
Rogue One. Rogue One was the guy done by the director of Godzilla.
So Rian, he's only done... Rian Johnson has only done Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, Looper.
That's right. Oh, Looper's is pretty damn cool. Visually cool. So, okay. I'm excited, dude. I'm really excited. I have no complaints with the behind the scenes at all.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. If anything, it's definitely created more excitement for me. All right. And then also, last bit, update from Disney's D23, game presentation. You know what? Let's backtrack. Before we jump into that, do you want to talk about or review the Last Jedi character posters?
Yeah, we could talk about them briefly. The character posters, I was actually really psyched about the posters because, like, when we actually got to see them, they're very stylized. I was expecting, you know, like the atypical Star Wars movie posters that we all have grown up to love.
It's a little different than what we've gotten in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily, I don't know if that's necessarily a negative, but it's definitely something to, I'm okay. I'm okay with this. I do like it. There are red tones.
Yeah.
So again, always looking at the color to kind of give away the idea of the story or the motif of the story. And just like the Last Jedi poster was a balance of red and blue.
Yes.
Now this one is more consumed with darker tones and red. They're a little bit more muted.
And I love the fact that in all the posters, the only person that's actually carrying something is Luke, and it's his lightsaber.
Rey's holding one too.
Is Rey holding one?
Yep, Rey's holding a lightsaber too.
Oh yeah, I see that now.
So I do like it. It also shows you the six main characters of the story, who they're going to be, which I think we already knew that. It's going to be Kylo Ren, Finn, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Daisy Ridley or Rey, and then Poe Dameron. Those are our six characters. And if they're the ones who got the character posters, then those are the ones that the stories are going to focus on. And the reason why I bring this up is because we mentioned a couple shows ago that I didn't care about all these new characters they were introducing. They announced that they had a bunch of new characters, that Poe was going to be teamed up with one and Finn was going to be teamed up with one. And it looks like they're just going to be utilized as ways to progress our main six characters along.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
And you know,
six is already a lot of characters. I don't think we really need much. We don't need more characters than that with a 2-hour movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the one thing that I also noticed with these posters that coincide with the sneak peek.
Yeah.
I like Kylo Ren's look. Remember we were talking about how, it looks like they shrunk the scar on his face.
Yeah.
When you saw that teaser trailer of the profile of him, that scar is bigger than what it was originally pictured.
It's bigger, but they still moved it, David. They moved the scar.
They moved it, yes.
Yeah.
But it is bigger than what we were saying.
I'm not forgiving Rian Johnson for that, okay? There's no convincing.
There's no convincing.
You don't change a scar. Do you understand how upsetting that is to my mind, to my OCD brain?
Yes. I understand. Trust me. Continuity.
it's very, I loathe it. But anyway, so we six new character posters. I will also post that on our page for the on-demand version of the show. Look for that, rainmandigitalmedia.com. Next bit of news, update. I can't talk anymore, David. I think we've hit our limit.
You've hit your Star Wars limit.
But I want to get into the D23 news that was announced pertaining to the Star Wars Battlefront 2 video game. And I know there isn't a lot of hype on this because of...
There should be. Honestly should be.
But the reason why a lot of people weren't excited, and I understand why the excitement isn't where it should be, it's because of the release of the new Battlefront for PS4 and Xbox. It just didn't live up to the hype, unfortunately. And yes, as we keep saying, it was a beautiful game, looked amazing, but there was nothing more to it. You were easily bored within a matter of a 2 or 3 hours of gameplay. You kind of scratched your head and said, well, what do we do next?
Unfortunately, when it comes to Star Wars video games, I think Lucasfilm, LucasArts, or whatever, or even Disney, have come to realize that simply making an average game isn't good enough.
No, and
average games don't get there. Don't get me wrong. Battlefront is a very solid game. It's average at best. But when it comes to something like Star Wars, average is not good enough. Average is still failing.
Exactly. You can't put out subpar work right now, especially in this day and age with Star Wars. It's relatively new still. A lot of people are kind of looking at Star Wars through cautious glasses still. They're not completely sold on the whole Disney idea, even though I am. I think it's been fantastic so far. So they got to knock this one out of the park. And something that you and I always talk about on our shows, at some point it finds a way to come back, because I think we're in love with Shadows of the Empire. The whole entire everything but the movie, as we saw in the 90s that George Lucas and Lucasfilm did with Shadows of the Empire, where they released everything but the movie, an entire story, books, video games, merchandise, and of a story that was canon up till the buyout of Lucasfilm by Disney. And it took place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And the reason why it was so cool and exciting was because the story of the video game mattered. It mattered to the Star Wars story. And that's something that was missing in Battlefront. There was no story mode. There wasn't anything. When you're told by Lucasfilm that everything that comes out now from here on out is going to matter to the story, and it's all going to be related to, you know, Star Wars canon, and then Battlefront was nothing more than a shoot 'em up, it was a little disappointing. Whereas with Battlefront 2, they're doing the complete opposite. They're really promoting a story mode. And when I watched this video, yes, I was a little I was not hopeful. I was watching the video, and it feels like I'm watching a behind the scenes of an upcoming movie. You have the visual effects guys, the guys that do the computer work. You have the actors doing the voices. You have the writer of the story mode. You have them all being interviewed, much like those press junkets for an upcoming movie. And they're not talking about the gameplay, which is important to a lot of gamers, but they're also, what they're stressing is the story. They're talking about the central character that you end up playing, the Imperial soldier. And they talk about the character, and they talk about what's driving her, and talking about the other side of things. And that's something that you and I have continued to talk about, specifically in our Star Wars Rebels edition, where we've never really been privy to the other side. It's always been about the Rebel Alliance, and we can see that there's definitely a line being drawn in the sand with the new era of Star Wars, and they want to show that there are other sides. There are two sides to every story, much like you saw Caspian.
Yes.
In Rogue One, when he just blew away another rebel, another ally, because he was afraid of getting caught because the guy was acting crazy. He wasn't acting professional. He was getting paranoid and making a scene and creating a ruckus, and it was going to prevent him from escaping. So he just blew him away. You saw a darker side to the Rebel Alliance, which, as we keep saying, is more realistic. When you're in war, not everybody has halos over their head. It is war. It is ugly. It is dirty. And there's usually two sides.
Yeah.
So that's what the story mode's all about. It's about the perspective from another side. How do you feel as a soldier looking up on Endor? You're on Endor at the end of Return of the Jedi, and you look up to see your battle station along with the Emperor annihilated and blown from the stars. Where do you go from there as an individual?
Yeah.
And that's what they were talking about. And that's what pulled me in immediately. And just because of those interviews with the actor playing the lead in the story mode, I'm sold. I'm going to go buy Battlefront 2, because that's all I wanted, was to feel like I'm taking part in a story that matters to the Star Wars canon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with what you're saying. Is like, the funny part is, this is what I was hoping we would get. I was hoping we'd get at E3 when they did their big E3 press conference for Battlefront.
Right.
But the main focus in Battlefront at E3 was the gameplay.
Right.
And there was barely anything touched on the story. And even some people have criticized at the E3 that basically a lot of people started getting worried because, like, the story mode at E3 was kind of like thrown in as, oh, it's just an extra, you know, don't worry about it, it's fine. But here, when we got a full look at D23, I'm happy that they should have shown this, honestly, at E3. It would have made the E3 press conference for Battlefront 100 times better if they at least were able to show this. Because, like, you're right. Getting to actually see the fact that the actors talking about that the characters that they play matter, that they all really cared. I was really psyched seeing Paul Blackthorne actually in this game, and he's playing one of the characters. And for those out there, Paul Blackthorne, you've probably seen him currently in CW, in Arrow. You've probably seen him in a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And I loved his past acting work that he's done in the past, especially like, you know, not to date myself, but like Dresden, the Dresden Files. He was fantastic in that TV show. And I was ecstatic that they got someone like him to play a character in a video game.
Yeah.
And hearing him talk alongside with the other actors about their characters and telling that there's a true character development within the campaign mode, the story mode, had me really, I'll be honest, it really put me more on the positive side of Battlefront 2, because
they needed to do it, Dave, after what happened with Battlefront, the first one, and the just negative publicity.
Yeah.
It was negative after it came out. A lot of people were very put off by it. They needed to have a win. They have to have a win. Otherwise, they're not going to be, no one's going to buy the video games. It's going to be a huge missed market for Lucasfilm, which we already know that Disney and Lucasfilm, they don't want to miss any part of the pie. And yeah, that would be a major miss if they can't lock these video games in for viable sources of revenue for Star Wars. And one way of securing a win was to bring in a story element that would tell a story. You needed to have it. And they learned from their mistake.
And
I'm confident that what we're going to get is something what we all wanted. We all wanted that playable storyline that meant, that means something, that matters.
That matters. And you brought it up earlier. We bring this up a couple times throughout our shows the last couple of times about the quote unquote dark times of Star Wars, where
before the rebellion,
Shadows of the Empire was the only thing we got in the 90s. And that's what we lived off of as Star Wars fans. That was a video game, and that video game carried us through the 90s until the 2000s when Dave Filoni took over and gave us Clone Wars, gave us Rebels at that point. I want them to actually go back to, like, that was the one thing that they had back in the 90s was their strength in the video games LucasArts.
The games were strong.
The
games were very strong, man. So Disney and the subsequent third parties that they used to finalize their games and make them and create them, they have a lot to live up to. And Battlefront 2 has to be a win. Otherwise, we're not going to get the games we want. So I'm hoping this...
All signs point to a really good start for the video games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, last bit of news before we close out today's show is Han Solo news. I know a lot of people, again, were disappointed that no news was released at D23 that pertained to Han Solo. And honestly, I didn't expect to get any. The focus has to be Last Jedi, as we were saying at the top of the show. But also, Han Solo, they've already said it. Ron Howard and Kathleen Kennedy said, you're going to see radio silence for a few weeks.
I would say till the next year.
No. I'm talking about in terms of even production. And the fact that we even got tweets from Ron Howard on set is pretty amazing. And I'm sure they did that just to kind of give fans the heads up that, hey, everything's cool, everything's okay. Because Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, Ron Howard all said that we're going to sit down for the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to review all the dailies, all the footage that was shot, and we're going to go back and see what we can keep and what we can scrap. This is an undertaking. For the most part, they're probably going to end up reshooting probably 65-70% of the movie. They're going to go back and redo it. So I didn't expect a lot of news. There isn't a lot to give except, hey, guys, Ron Howard's taking over because Phil Lord and Christopher Miller were a bunch of putzes that couldn't follow directions. So now Ron Howard did tweet something out that I think a lot of Star Wars enthusiasts will appreciate. Okay, we all know the love-hate relationship I think many of us have, the Mystery Science 3000 type feel that we have for the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes.
And people have ran from that movie. George Lucas has ran from that movie. The fans have ran. The actors have ran. Just like a dog taking a poop and then never returning, and cats take a shit in the cat box and they take off running. That's what everybody does with the holiday special. However, recently, due to the new flurry of books that we have gotten, Chuck Wendig has reintroduced an element from the holiday special, and that was Chewbacca's wife. Chewbacca was married in the holiday special, and since then we've never heard back in terms of canon about, what was her name, Mala?
Mala.
Mala. But Chuck Wendig, in the recent prequel books to, let me make sure we don't confuse people, the prequel to The Force Awakens, but the sequel to Return of the Jedi, where the books, what were they, Life, Debt, and Empire's End?
Yes. I believe it was Debt.
Yeah, Chewbacca's wife was mentioned in those books, and her name was Mala. And she was talked about as being very intelligent and hair resembling silk. So we know that she exists, that she officially has been reintroduced into canon, because the holiday special was never officially canon. They never accepted it, thankfully. So we were always left thinking, well, with this new canon, where does this leave Chewie? But where does his past come into play? And Ron Howard on set tweeted out a image of Chewie behind the scenes reviewing image. He's reviewing the shot. He's checking out the shot. Hashtag Chewie. And then on a closer look at the shot, you can see that Chewie's reviewing the footage of two Wookiees in a very intimate scene. I'm not saying they're making out, but it looks like they are very close and very and hugging.
And they're hugging.
So, again, no confirmation, but going from A to B, looking at the fact that Chuck Wendig has introduced Mala back into canon, and we know that the Lucasfilm Story Group has final say on everything and most elements, big or small, it does make sense that we are going to see possibly Chewie's wife for the first time in a canon story.
Which, as funny, as odd as it sounds, I am actually truly psyched about this
because
it gives more character background into Chewbacca.
I think we need it. I mean, if you're doing a story on Han Solo, there's a few things that have to be there. And it's the relationship between Chewie and Han and the relationship between Lando and Han.
Yeah.
Those three characters are kind of connected in a way throughout Star Wars history that we always knew that their background, their history together was much bigger than what we were privy to on screen. So when I heard about the Han Solo standalone prequel, the young Han Solo story, I immediately expected that we would get a story on Chewie, that we would learn more about Chewie because he is important to Han Solo's past. He is the side-by-side partner of Han Solo since we saw them. We were introduced to Han Solo back in 1977, it was always Chewie by his side. Then we see flash forward to 2015 and Force Awakens and Episode 7, and who's by his side? When nobody else is by him anymore, he has left. He has, his son hates him. Princess Leia and Han Solo have gone through some bad times, obviously. Who's next to him?
It's Chewbacca,
his life partner. I think it makes sense, and I think it'd be a massive missed opportunity if they don't give us a backstory on Chewie as well.
Yeah. That's why, as I said, when I first heard this, I got so many tweets and messages about, are they going to be bringing back the holiday special? They're not going to bring back the holiday special.
Come on. Yeah.
They're going to bring back elements that, honestly, as bad as the holiday special was, the biggest thing that was a positive about it was showing the fact that Chewbacca had a family. Do I want to see Chewbacca's son and father? No. But if we were to actually see Chewbacca prior to Han have a wife, it would actually kind of take that character even more, make that character more deep.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good move. I definitely am looking forward to seeing and finding out more about Chewbacca. And I'm willing to bet that we'll definitely see little clues like that in the first teaser trailer that we end up seeing for Han Solo. It makes sense for those types of things to be explored rather than the big story elements revolving around Han Solo, which if you look at much of the other teasers that we've seen for Star Wars is usually what they do. They kind of focus on the smaller subplots rather than the massive narrative of the movie.
Yeah, remember one of the positives from Force Awakens that a lot of fans really liked was the fact that they hinted at Chewbacca actually being in a relationship with Maz.
Yeah, get in that mic. Just disappeared.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
They actually, in Force Awakens, they actually hinted at the fact that Maz and Chewbacca were in a relationship.
Oh, he would split Maz apart. Come on.
And everyone under the sun was like, oh, that's really cool. Chewie was more than just Han's, sidekick.
I did like that. And that's the genius of J.J. Abrams. I like his writing. Little things like that gives you a little bit of a kind of like an outlook on Chewbacca, a character that we only scrape the surface of in every movie he's been in. But just that little nugget with like this relationship or this idea that there's a relationship kind of gives you that fulfillment that you kind of want on Chewie.
Yeah.
It makes him more of a real character as well.
It gives him that more deep character background.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the Han Solo movie. I was not super psyched about it when Phil Lord and Chris Miller were behind the movie, but as we said in our last show, I'm completely stoked now that Ron Howard's on board and he has taken the helm. David, that concludes this week's discussion on Star Wars From the Back to Tank. I do want to invite all of our listeners to head over to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital and donate or pledge to the cause. Now, when you pledge $5 or more, you now get more Star Wars From the Back to Tank, as well as a slew of other content, whether it be DC Comics related, comic books related, everything. Head over to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital. Donate, pledge, and you get a bunch of additional content. I think what did we just cover? We covered the
Screaming Citadel.
The Screaming Citadel was the first Patreon exclusive shows that we did for everyone over there, where we discussed the entire series of the Screaming Citadel, the crossover event of Marvel Comics. It was amazing. It was awesome, and we broke it all down and did the usual speculation, Star Wars Rebel style. So head over to patreon.com/Rain Man Digital and check that out. I want to thank everybody for listening and bearing with some of the technical difficulties we had. So, all right, we'll see you guys next time.
May the Force be with you.
Hello, this is Stormtrooper 1, and if you've missed any portion of the show, you can always head over to fromthebacktotank.com and listen to the show at your leisure. We're also on Stitcher, Smart Radio, Stitcher.com, search BACTA, and add us to your favorites. Thank you. And listen responsibly. And may the Force be with you. And long live. Thank you for listening to From the Back to Tank. And From the Back to Tank is executive produced by Michael Flores and Dustin Lucas. Hosted by Michael Flores, David Sabal. You can find out more about our show by going to www.fromthebacktotank.com. You can also find us on Twitter at FromBackToTank, as well as Facebook, facebook.com/fromthebacktotank.